Hi, I'm Phoebe Goldberg. I'm the program manager for the Michigan Public Health Training Center. And I'm happy to be here today to share with you the development and evaluation of our pilot Board of Health training on behalf of our team. I don't personally have any financial relationships to disclose, but there are a couple other things that I'd like to mention. The Michigan Public Health Training Center is funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration, or HRSA, and we have been for the last 15 years or so as a state-based public health training center. Our work is our own and does not necessarily represent their views. And secondly, what I'll share with you today is the evaluation of the pilot of our training, and it's not meant to be research. So I'll start with just a little bit more about us. The Michigan Public Health Training Center is housed at the University of Michigan School of Public Health, Office of Public Health Practice, and our mission is to strengthen the skills of the current and future public health workforce. So that includes student development activities such as field placements or collaborative projects, as well as training needs assessments and continuing education for professionals working out in the field. For this particular training activity, we partnered with the Michigan Public Health Institute, or MPHI, a nonprofit institute dedicated to improving community health through collaboration. And they similarly share a focus on workforce development and instructional design, so they were great partners for this activity. So before I get too far into our training and our pilot, I'd like to share a bit about boards of health in general. This is a quote from the National Association of Local Boards of Health that shows their importance to the public health system. We know that health is impacted by factors across disciplines, those social determinants of health, and boards of health are often comprised of members coming from a variety of backgrounds, which also means that they may or may not have the same understanding of public health. Boards of health are established at the state, local, tribal, or city levels, so there's variance in that way. And they also vary in that some of them have legal authority to make or enforce regulations and oversee budgets, whereas others are advisory and help inform decision-making in a different way. But regardless, they're there to support their health department in their jurisdiction. Recently, NALBO, the National Association of Local Public Health, Local Boards of Health, and the CDC outlined the six functions of public health governance to lay out those responsibilities of boards of health. And the six are as you see here. And some activities that are included within these might include hiring and then working closely with the health officer, convening partners for public health initiatives, supporting community health assessments and community health improvement plans conducted by the health department and others. And then depending on their level of authority, they may oversee or monitor budgets, and establish organizational level policies at the health department or those community level policies as well. And so it's that last piece in particular related to policy and advocacy that we were most interested in as we developed this training. So there were three factors that kind of made up our training needs assessment as we got started. The first is in 2011, NALBO conducted a local Board of Health national profile assessment. This was a series of surveys they conducted. And the profile they created outlined common structures for boards of health, common responsibilities, and then a set of common training needs, two of which were conducting a board member orientation and advocating for local public health. Secondly, in Ohio, our neighboring state, they have a recent requirement for Board of Health members to receive 2 hours of training each year related to ethics, board responsibilities, and public health. And we've worked, we have a working relationship with the Ohio Public Health Training Center, and those discussions were part of what informed our training. And then lastly, our Associate Dean for Practice, Dr. Phyllis Meadows, who's here today too, had several conversations with Marie Fallon, the former NALBO CEO, regarding these various training needs and the need for training like we would create. And Marie Fallon has since passed away, but we've dedicated our training in her memory. So in light of all that, the goal of our training is to orient new board members or new boards of health to the field of public health and give them some initial strategies for impacting the population health in their communities. The training is meant for a national audience, which did pose some challenges in its development given all the variants that I mentioned earlier in board structures. What we ended up with is a series of 7 online modules, each about 10 to 15 minutes long. And they cover a range of topics, public health kind of introduction in the first 2 modules, operating as a board of health, financing public health, contributing to health equity, partnerships to improve health outcomes, and supporting population health through policy and advocacy. And so each module has a short didactic component, and then it ends with an example of a board of health doing something related to that topic. So that example of an effective board of health. Each module comes with a list of suggested resources for further exploration and a set of suggested discussion topics. In developing the content for the module, we drew upon national resources from the Institute of Medicine, NATO, CDC, the Community Toolbox, as well as existing materials from some boards of health, whether that's the state level or local level. I do want to take a minute to acknowledge several people who participated and contributed to the development of the training. We had several health officers, board members, and others affiliated with local public health administration who reviewed the modules as they were being developed and gave us their input. So we appreciate their help. And then the Ohio State University College of Public Health Center for Public Health Practice, we'd also like to thank them for their contributions as well. So our pilot. Again, the purpose of the pilot was to try the training out with the intended audience of new Board of Health members or new boards, as well as with those who had more experience with public health governance and could give us their insights in relation to new incoming members. We piloted the training between January and October of this year, and we recruited 10 boards of health in Michigan and Ohio to participate. They were recruited through a convenient sample and involved some snowballing, too. We had several boards who we thought might be interested, and then several who heard what we were doing and reached out to us to participate, whether that was to support their accreditation training requirements or other training needs. Of these 10 boards, 7 were rural, in rural settings. 2 were advisory boards, and that has to do with that legal authority I mentioned. And 2 of these were newly established boards. So across those 10 boards, we had 84 individuals who participated in at least some component of our training. Their participation in the pilot included completing a pre-survey, viewing each module, each of the 7 modules, and completing a short post-survey afterwards, a final survey, and then participating in a brief focus group discussion, either by phone or in person, so that we could get a little bit more detailed feedback that way. And we were really happy with our response rate. So this is based on those 84 potential respondents. We had a response rate of 48% to 58% for those that we could pair pre-survey with post-survey after each module. So that's why it varies. It's per module. And then for the final survey, as well as for some questions we asked only at post-test, we had a response rate of 52 to 67%. So the next couple slides, I'll share with you some feedback from their how the training impacted their knowledge and understanding, so from those paired surveys. Before I do that, from their focus group discussions, they did indicate that our goal for the course was met, that they thought this would be useful for new board members or new boards of health in orienting them to the field and giving them some initial strategies. And then from their final surveys, they agreed on average that the learning objectives for each specific module were met. So those were ratings of 3.8 to 4.1 on average out of 5. And then they also, in their final survey, agreed that it was useful for their professional development. That received a rating of 3.9 out of 5 on average. So in terms of their knowledge gains, they did show improvements or increases in correct responses to a couple questions about key public health concepts. We asked them to identify the three core functions of public health, assurance, assessment, and policy development. And at pretest, 21% correctly identified the three, and at post-test, 89%. Which isn't to say, you know, this was check three from this list of potential, and these are people who got it entirely correct. There are, you know, many others who got it maybe partially correct. They also identified from a list of stakeholders in the public health system. We asked them to check whether each of the following were stakeholders: communities, media, federal, state, and local government, tribal agencies, healthcare, academia, and business. And at pretest, 57% checked all of them, and at post-test, 88%. This is a sampling of the true and false questions that we asked in their pre- and post-surveys. And what you can see here is that in some of the questions, again, they showed pretty good increases in correct responses, whereas in others, there was less change, and they were high from the very beginning at baseline. And I think that lends to the experience of the people we were piloting this with. They were already in, you know, a relatively experienced audience, as well as to maybe the strength of the way the questions were worded. This was a tool we developed in-house and wasn't validated. But you can see they did increase in their correct responses regarding national accreditation and the existence of state boards of health. So at post-test, we asked them, related to each module, to identify at least one opportunity for action for their board. We ended up being able to code these into themes related to the six functions of public health governance. And I do want to just say that we can't say anything causal, that the training caused them to come up with the ideas, but it does seem to suggest that it primed them to be thinking about them. So in terms of partner engagement, many of their responses focused on this idea of collaboration. Sometimes it was with specific partners, such as schools, businesses, healthcare facilities, or other areas of government. And other times it was talking about working or aligning with each other's priorities. In terms of communicating with the community, this had to do with informing and educating the public, so health education, as well as communicating with the media, using social media, and holding public meetings. In regards to continuous improvement, community health assessments were mentioned pretty frequently in their open-ended responses. And whether through community health assessments, conducting them, supporting them, or otherwise, they talked about using data to inform practice, using data to identify those health priorities and solutions. And in addition to, or within evidence-based practice, they also talked about looking at other communities and seeing what they've done and what's worked or what hasn't worked. So learning through example. Which they also seem to be doing from our training itself. In particular, for this idea of oversight, many of their responses reflected those examples of effective boards of health that we presented. So with this particular theme, that featured the hiring process of a health officer, as the previous one was retiring. So that was something they saw that they could support and do. In terms of resource stewardship, throughout various modules in their post-surveys, they talked about needing to align budgets with the health priorities of their communities. After the specific module about financing public health, they also emphasized needing to explore grants and other funding opportunities, supporting grant writing, and exploring other funding sources too, such as taxes or fees. In terms of policy involvement, again, this was throughout the modules, but particularly after the one on policy and advocacy. They talked about getting involved in policy work generally, as well as about specific issues. And so some of these specific topics kind of cut across these themes, whether it was in terms of talking about public health education or policy. Some certain topics came up repeatedly, such as nutrition and obesity, tobacco, infectious disease and immunizations, and general public health. other cross-cutting themes are talking about the role of the board. So all of these responses were opportunities for action that the board could be doing, but some of them took on a different sense of kind of individual responsibility or individual potential in fulfilling the board functions. And then several people were able to say, we're already taking action related to this theme. This is something we can do, and we're already doing it, which again has to do with the experience of our audience. They also provided feedback on the course itself, more process-type feedback. Overall, it was positive, and they, again, did feel it would be useful to new Board of Health members or new boards. But they did provide some suggestions for improving the course before its final release. So the methods of implementation varied. I mentioned we developed a set of online modules, but they were really free to use them in a variety of ways. So some boards chose to view one or two modules at each of their monthly meetings, which is also why the pilot took as long as it did, because they were spaced out. Others had one or two special meetings to view maybe half of the modules at a time and discuss them. Others asked their members to view them individually online at home or use that as a way to make up a session if they missed the in-person meeting. So we did get mixed feedback on the effectiveness of the learning method, with an average rating of 3.5 out of 5, which also corresponds with some of the open-ended feedback we received. Some common comments were needing more time to process the material or related to the pace of the material, and similarly wanting more time to discuss and process the content that way. Along with that, they expressed a desire for written materials, an outline or other materials to support their note-taking and to refer to afterwards. They did, again, mention liking learning from example and wanting more of those. And specifically, again, this is meant for a national audience, but they requested or indicated a desire for materials that were tailored to the state level or even the local level. So what we've done, or what we're doing now, is creating a companion guide to address some of those needs. Over the summer, we worked with two consultants with experience with public health governance and NALBO to develop 10 additional examples, primarily from the Midwest, but covering rural settings, urban settings, boards with legal authority, and advisory boards to add to that resource. We will, along with those examples, include the transcript from the training and the outline, which will also help increase our accessibility of the material. We'll be providing technical support instructions for better access and updating the structure of our quizzes and evaluation. It was interesting that some people participating in the training really did not like being tested, whereas others found it a good opportunity to review the material. And so what we'll do is reorganize so that we're still getting that feedback, still getting those knowledge checks, but maybe reducing the survey burden. So as we compile our final package, we will be working with our regional partners to develop some state-based fact sheets to include. We're now a part of the Region 5 Great Lakes Public Health Training Collaborative, and so we'll be working with our region to help disseminate this training, first in our region and then nationally. We are still dealing with a couple challenges in terms of that method of implementation. Again, boards need to be able to do what's going to work for them, whether it's at one meeting or a few or individually. But what we can do is emphasize that discussing the material will help help infuse it into the work that they do. We're also dealing with some challenges around evaluation. Many folks turn theirs in paper, which is not going to be feasible for us if we scale this up. And we're also going to be interested in learning more about their perceptions of their roles and actions before and after taking the training. These are just a couple potential future training areas that came from their feedback. Again, those tangible templates and tools, examples, And even taking a step back from orienting to public health to orienting to being on a board and what that means. So if you have any further questions or want more information, you can contact us. And these are just some references.